In today's gospel, Jesus tells his apostles at the Last Supper, I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you should also love one another. This commandment to love each other as Jesus has loved us is in many ways what has made Christianity so attractive to so many people over the last 20 centuries. And for good reason. Man in his very nature, at the core of his being, is a creature created for love. Above all else, he longs to be loved and to love. This is clear from both Holy Scripture and common sense. In Scripture, we read that God is love, that God's whole life, everything about him is love, and that in the beginning, God created mankind in his own image, a creature created to receive God's love and to love him back. And God says it's not good for man to be alone, and so he creates man as both male and female so that the two can love each other. Man is created for love. And common sense tells us that no human being can be happy without love. In fact, all our lives we really search for and work to be loved by others. We see this as the infant reaches out her arms to be held by her daddy, or cries at night, not because he's hungry or wet, but simply because he wants his mommy. And we see this in adults as they constantly search for the love of a mate or do all sorts of things to win the praises and approval of their colleagues, their friends, and strangers even. They want to be loved. We are created for and so constantly are driven by love. But like all good things, the desire for love can be easily corrupted. Sometimes this happens when the desire to receive love and to give love become entangled and confused. When love yields to self-love, as we begin to give love mainly so that we can receive love, or we confuse receiving love with receiving what our passions desire, love becomes reduced to something selfish. Self-love becomes reduced to a feeling, and so to a pleasurable feeling, to pleasure. So love is cheapened to mean bringing pleasure either to myself or to someone else, however passing, temporary, or base that might be. Sometimes this corruption comes about as our desire to be loved causes us to do whatever it takes to feel like we are being loved. And this can lead to all sorts of strange and abusive situations, from a wife who will do anything, bear any abuse, to please her husband, to a man who will sacrifice his family life so that he can be loved and praised by the world that will forget his name next week. And it can lead to a society where saying the popular thing becomes more important than telling the truth, where tolerating and even celebrating flaws and errors in others is more important than helping them to overcome those flaws and errors. But all this sort of gets love backwards. The heart of Christian love, as Jesus tells his apostles, is love one another as I have loved you. How did Christ love them? An ancient definition of love is willing and striving for the good of the beloved. Willing and striving for the good of the beloved. Love means wanting what is truly good for the beloved, not what will give them some temporary passing pleasure. And love means striving or doing things that will bring about that good. In Christ, we see this can ultimately mean doing what is good for others, even if they hate you. Truly loving another is never directly dependent on being loved in return by the other person. Jesus loved all mankind, both his own people, the Jews and the Gentiles. And so he told them things they needed to hear for their own good, hard sayings that they often walked away from, and even made them want to kill him. And in the end, did make them kill him. Man is created for love, both receiving love and giving love. But while he searches to find someone to love him as his only natural, he should never confuse being loved by others with being the object of pleasure to others. And he, or rather we, should never forget that there is one who already truly loves us, no matter what. God, Jesus. Which is why he can tell us, love as I have loved. His love is not selfish, but selfless. He truly wills and strives for our good without concern for his own pleasure. There was no pleasure when he walked up and down the length and breadth of Israel preaching the gospel, and there was no pleasure as he was scourged and then hung on the cross. There was only love. It is true that Scripture teaches us that we should try to please God. But God is pleased not in what we do for him, but in seeing us becoming the truly loving creatures he created us to be, because that's the only way that we reach our potential and that we can truly be happy. Like parents who delight in their baby's first step, they delight not because it reflects well on them. Look, my child can walk, and so I must be a good parent. No, because they're simply delighted that their child is growing up healthy, reaching its potential. Think about it. How do we please God? As Jesus tells us also at the Last Supper, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Does it please God if we don't kill each other, or we don't steal from each other, or lie to each other, or commit adultery? Well, it doesn't do him any direct good, but it does please him because these things are contrary to loving each other. We don't love each other if we kill each other. We don't love each other if we steal from each other or lie to each other or commit adultery. They're absolutely opposed to what we all are striving for, what will make us happy. And so they don't please God. But we do please God when we keep the commandments, which are the commandments really about loving our neighbor. This points to the second aspect of love. Man not only seeks to receive love, but he cannot be happy if he does not give love. Again, this love is not selfish, but selfless. It does not give in order to receive. It simply gives for the good of the beloved. And so, like Christ's love, there must always be a sacrificial element to truly human love. It must be willing to lose everything, even the love of the beloved. So if we love, we must love like Christ and be willing to tell others the truth, even when they don't want to hear it. Sometimes this involves telling others that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to him, no one come to the Father except through him. Sometimes this means telling them that this is this or that action or this or that belief is wrong because it's contrary to true human love. Whether it's the truth about the evils of greed or socialism, or the evils of abortion or premarital sex, or the evils of racism or homosexuality. Sometimes it means not only telling them, but also doing something more tangible. Sometimes parents have to punish their children for doing wrong if they love them. Voters have to replace public officials for the moral evils that they legislate. And society has to reject with our pocketbooks, our patronage, or our protests, attitudes and behaviors that are contrary to true human love. Now, if we love, when we do all these things, we have to do them in love. Which means that we do them not in a way that makes us feel good, but in a way that will effectively achieve the good for the beloved. Sometimes maybe a misbehaving child has to be spanked. But if that's the case, it shouldn't be because it's a way of relieving the parent's stress. It doesn't matter if the parent feels good. Is it good for the child? Love says, should the child be spanked or scolded or sent to bed without dessert or whatever? What is the best solution in this situation? And again, not worrying about, will my little baby still like me if I do this? Love doesn't need to be loved back. True love is giving. And so we ask, is this the best thing for my beloved? Christ himself showed us this. Remember how gentle he was with the woman caught in adultery, and with Mary Magdalene who wept at his feet. Or even with Peter who denied him 3 times, and Jesus responded 3 times, simply, do you love me? But remember, Jesus could also be harsh. Remember how he publicly chastised the scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you whitewashed tombs, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. Remember how one time he made a whip and physically drove the money changers from the temple. But none of that was to make himself feel good or because he was having a temper tantrum and just had to let it out. No. It was because he thought this was what the right thing to do for these particular people, what they needed at that particular moment for their good. This balance between when to be hard or when to be kind, to be nice, if you will, when to speak or when to be silent is difficult, to say the least. And it's hard to love when we know that only resentment or even hatred or recrimination will return to us. But Christ knows this, and so in his great love for us, he helps us in so many ways. First, he gives us his own personal example all throughout the scripture. And then he calls us to constantly examine our lives, continuously holding ourselves up to the standard that he set. But most importantly, he gives us himself. He loves us so much that he not only died for our sins, he died and rose again so that he could give us a share in his own life. His own life of love. In so many ways, especially in the sacraments, he pours that life of love into us, the life of grace, so that we're never alone in any of this. The God who loves us is with us to help us to love as we were created to lift us up when we're tired, to guide us when we're confused, to strengthen us when we're weak, to remain with us when we feel all alone. So it doesn't have to be the way it's always been. You don't have to continue to fail at love and loving. You don't have to continue to fail to distort the meaning of love. As he says in today's second reading from Revelation, the old order has passed. Behold, I make all things new. Now, as we move more deeply into the mystery of the Eucharist, let us turn to our Lord and see in this sacrament the purity of the love for us that led him to the cross and the power of that love that raised him from the tomb. And let us recognize in this holy mystery the love that desires nothing more than our good, that works by the power, the grace of this sacrament to achieve that good in our lives. And filled with the grace of this sacrament, let us follow Jesus' example and go out into the world that is desperately seeking and yearning for love, and boldly proclaim in our words and our actions the truth about love. And in all this, let us hold tight to his tender commandment. As I have loved you, so also should you love one another. Praise be Jesus Christ.